Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the April 8th, 2025 regular meeting of the San Francisco County Transportation Authority Board. I am Supervisor Myrna Melgar, Chair of the Board. Our Vice Chair is Danny Sauter. Welcome, everyone. The clerk today is Amy Sayoung. And I would also like to acknowledge Susan Enos at SFGov TV for staffing this meeting and helping us broadcast it. Madam Clerk, please call the roll and then make your announcements.
Commissioner Chan, Chan absent. Commissioner Chin, Chin present. Commissioner Dorsey, Dorsey present. Commissioner Ingardial, Ingardial present. Commissioner Fielder, Fielder present. Commissioner Mahmood, Mahmood present. Commissioner Mandelman, Mandelman present. Chair Melgar?
Present.
Melgar present. Vice Chair Sauter? Sauter absent. Commissioner Sherrill? Sherrill absent. Commissioner Walton? Walton absent. Chair, we have quorum.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk.
I'm going to make my public announcement now.
Okay.
Okay. For members of the public interested in participating in this meeting, we welcome your attendance here in person in the Legislative Chamber, Room 250, in City Hall. Or you may watch cable channel 26 or 99, depending on your provider, or stream the meeting live at sfgovtv.org. For those wishing to make public comment remotely, the best way to do so is by dialing 415-655-0001, and when prompted, entering access code 2663-413-4851, and then press pound and pound again. You will be able to listen to the meeting in real time. When public comment is called for the item you wish to speak on, press star 3 to be added to the queue to speak. Do not press star 3 again, or you will be removed from the queue. When the system says your line is unmuted, the live operator will advise you that you are allowed 2 minutes to speak. When your 2 minutes are up, we will move on to the next caller. Calls will be taken in the order in which they are received. Best practices are to speak slowly, clearly, and turn down the volume of any televisions or radios around you. Public comment for items on this agenda will be taken first from members of the public in attendance in the legislative chamber, and then afterwards from the remote speakers queue on the telephone line. And I'd like to also acknowledge that Commissioner Sherrill is present. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. At this time, I'd like to excuse Vice Chair Sauter from the meeting. Before calling the next item, as Chair, I'd like to invoke Rule 3.26 from the Rules of Order to limit total public comment per item to 30 minutes for today's meeting. Each speaker will have up to 2 minutes to speak on any given item. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 2, approve the minutes of the March 25th, 2025 meeting. This is an action item.
Okay, I don't see anyone on the roster with questions or comments, so let's go to public comment on this item, please, Madam Clerk.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Checking for remote public comment on this item. There is no remote public comment.
Okay, public comment on this item is now closed. Colleagues, is there a motion and a second? Moved by Mandelman, seconded by Chen. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion to approve, item 2, Commissioner Chan. Chan absent. Commissioner Chen. Chen, aye. Commissioner Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Commissioner Ingardial.
Aye.
Ingardial, aye. Commissioner Fielder.
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Commissioner Mahmood. Mahmood, aye. Commissioner Mandelman?
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Melgar?
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Commissioner Sherrill?
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Commissioner Walton? Walton, absent. Chair, there are 8 ayes. The minutes are approved.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. Please call the next item.
Item 3, Community Advisory Committee Report. This is an information item.
Thank you. We have CAC Chair Kat Siegel joining us remotely today.
Yes, good morning, Chair Melgar and Commissioners. At our March meeting, the CAC voted to approve the paratransit program and BART elevator attendant program as priorities for the 2025-2026 STA County Block Grant Funds. Several members had questions about success metrics for both of these programs, and members also asked whether BART was considering expanding the elevator attendant program to stations in the Mission, and whether BART had considered bringing the program in-house, both of which are questions which have come up at previous meetings, and staff explained that both of these have been considered and are limited by funding. The CAC also approved the final Prop L strategic plan after some clarifying discussion about how program cuts had been prioritized, whether the future project scopes would be reduced due to lower than projected revenues, and whether scope and funding for projects could expand in the future if higher than projected revenues do come in. The CAC also received the same BART and Caltrain financial outlook presentations that you received earlier in the month, which generated a lot of discussion about creative ways to increase ridership, including increasing corporate participation in the Bay Pass program, making fares more affordable for families and children, and improving the last mile experience. Members praised the new, more frequent Caltrain schedule thanks to electrification and provided some constructive feedback on the bike car experience. And then finally, we received an update from staff on SB 63, which I believe the current parameters of the bill had been announced that same day, and this was presented as an information item. That's all I have, and I am happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Siegel. I don't have anyone on the roster. Let's go to public comment on this item, please, Madam Clerk.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment for this item.
Okay. Public comment on this item is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 4, state and federal legislation update. This is an action item.
Thank you so much. We have Martin Reyes here to present on this item. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. Martin Reyes, principal transportation planner, SFGov TV. I am sharing my slides. This morning, I'll be giving you an overview of Senate Bill 63, which is the bill introduced by Senators Wiener and Aragin that would authorize a regional transportation revenue measure to be placed on the ballot in November 2026. I did also just want to briefly note that there is a push from state legislators led by Senator Aragin for a state budget request of $2 billion in flexible funding for transit across the state. Part of this $2 billion is intended to go to the Bay Area to help act as bridge funding for between now and when funding from a regional measure, if it's passed, starts flowing in 2027. It's unclear how this budget request is going to land given the ongoing issues related to the federal government, the Los Angeles wildfires, and the state has also been seeing some cost increase in other programs like Medi-Cal. But we will continue to keep the board apprised of what's going on with the state budget request given its important to this importance and relevance to this topic. So last month, the board adopted a support in concept position on Senate Bill 63 based on the intent language. Since then, the legislators have introduced amendments, and while there are still a lot of details to be worked out, and we expect additional amendments to come in the next few months, we are recommending updating the agency's position to support. At its core, this bill authorizes a sales tax to be introduced on the November 2026 ballot across what they're calling the Transportation Revenue Measure District. And this district, by default, would include three counties, Alameda, Contra Costa, and San Francisco. Two counties may opt in, and they need to do so by July 31 of this year. That would be San Mateo and Santa Clara counties. The bill also allows for the option of a citizen initiative to place this measure on the ballot, in addition to MTC being able to place the measure on the ballot, and MTC is also designated as the governing body for this district. The default sales tax rate for this district would be a half cent, except in San Francisco, where we could opt to go as high as one full cent, and we would need to do that by July 31 of this year. This tax may be in place for anywhere between 10 to 15 years. And for reference, we've also included a chart showing our current sales tax rate and how it compares to the base sales tax rate of other counties in the Bay Area. Funding from the district measure can be used towards transit operations for the four major operators, AC Transit, BART, Caltrain, and Muni. It can also go towards funding for a handful of smaller East Bay operators. And some of the funding can also go to MTC for transit transformation initiatives. Now, the bill is silent on exactly how much funding is supposed to go to each agency. And instead, the legislators have sort of put this in local agencies' hands. The bill calls for this new process to unfold over the next few months. That process is called the Transit Operations Financial Responsibility and Implementation Plan, TFRIP for short. Under this TFRIP process, counties, operators, and stakeholders are being asked to collaborate to identify fair share contributions to transit operators and how those contributions will be met, including through use of regional measure dollars. TFRIP is supposed to be developed by July 31 of this year, and the legislators would plan to use TFRIP to help inform an expenditure plan and amendments that would be moved forward for SB 63 afterwards. An important note, there is a provision in SB 63 that says that only Caltrain member agencies would be responsible for determining Caltrain TFRIP contributions, and that's in acknowledgement of the current Caltrain JPA. The bill also has several other provisions. One of those is that it allows MTC to condition receipt of measure funding on compliance, a transit agency's compliance with regional network management policies and provisions. And it also calls for a financial efficiency review of transit operators to help the agencies identify cost-saving measures that the agencies can implement to complement the regional measure. And the last provision I want to highlight here is that there is a separate but related provision that would provide flexibility to San Francisco and San Mateo County modifying Public Utilities Code to allow for the introduction of new sales taxes in 1/8 cent increments. Currently, the code that SFCTA uses for its sales tax only allows the introduction of either a 0.5 cent or a full cent sales tax. The regional measure work happening under Senate Bill 63 is happening in parallel with a few other things going on at the local level, including the Muni Funding Working Group. They just had their last meeting last month where they considered a number of packages that are intended to help Muni address its anticipated operating shortfall of $320 million. The regional measure is a key piece of many of those packages. And several of the packages actually propose building on the regional measure by introducing a local measure based on either a sales tax or parcel tax. So we will continue working with SFMTA on the packages that they've developed, and SFMTA staff may also present to this board on what those packages contain sometime in May. At the same time, San Francisco will also be working on the deliverables that are due back to the legislators on July 31 of this year, including TFRIP and the San Francisco's potential variable tax rate. And this last slide that I have for you all is just a schedule overview of what we're expecting over the next year. TFRIP, again, is due July 31, so we're working right now with counties and operators to develop that. Shortly after that, the legislature will reconvene from their summer recess. Bills will start passing through the legislature. The governor would need to sign or veto bills by October 12. If the bill passes and there's interest from the public on a citizen initiative, signature gathering could begin in January 2026 and go through May 2026 before the measure is authorized for the ballot in November 2026. With that, that's the end of my presentation. Again, we'll continue working with senators on SB 63. Very appreciative of the work that Senator Wiener has done to this point on addressing the transit fiscal cliff. And just as a reminder, we are asking for a support position on SB 63. And with that, happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Reyes. I don't see anyone on the roster asking questions, so I will just make a couple comments because it wasn't covered in your presentation, and I just wanted to add a little bit of color on the regional level as your representative on the MTC. The MTC board did vote to support the bill with almost unanimously with one abstention from one of the representatives of San Mateo County, but Also, there was lots of talk, which was included in our remarks to the senators, that San Mateo and Santa Clara wanted a little more flexibility to decide on their extent of participation because they have other stuff going on and an expiration of their own sales tax measures, which they don't want to sort of mess with, as we wouldn't either. So, but there seems to be consensus on the regional level that this is something we want to do together and a path forward, which I find really, really encouraging. So with that, if there's no other comments or questions, let's go to public comment on this item.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Checking for remote public comment on this item, and I do not see any.
Okay, I'm just noticing that Commissioner Walton has joined us. Thank you, Commissioner Walton. We are gonna vote on whether or not to support SB 63, which I know as a Caltrain board member, you are very interested in. So with that, may I have a motion and a second to support this? Mahmoud and seconded by Dorsey. Madam Clerk, let's take roll.
On the motion to approve item 4, Commissioner Chan. Chan, aye. Commissioner Chen. Chen, aye. Commissioner Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Commissioner Ingardio. Ingardio, aye. Commissioner Fielder. Fielder, aye. Commissioner Mahmoud. Mahmoud, aye. Commissioner Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Melgar.
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Commissioner Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Commissioner Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. There are 10 ayes. The motion is approved.
Sorry, did I close public comment?
Yeah.
I don't remember if I did. I did. Thank you. All right. Let's go to the next item, please, Madam Clerk.
Item 5, approve programming priorities for up to $4,565,603 in San Francisco's estimated fiscal year 2025-26 State Transit Assistance County Block Grant Funds with conditions. This is an action item.
Okay, so I have Amelia Wally here, but that's obviously not the case, so welcome.
Good morning. I'm Mike Pickford, Principal Transportation Planner with the Transportation Authority. And SFGov TV, I believe you can see my slides at this point. Thank you. Great. So in 2018, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission established the State Transit Assistance County Block Grant Program to be administered by congestion management agencies, including the Transportation Authority in San Francisco. These funds were previously distributed via a regional paratransit program and a regional lifeline transportation program that focused on the transportation needs of low-income populations. STA funds are one of the few programs that we prioritize that can direct funds to operating programs as well as capital infrastructure. In keeping with the history of this funding source, funding paratransit and other lifeline transportation projects, we have programmed STA funds each cycle to SFMTA's paratransit program in line with the amount that was previously received under the former regional program. MTC requires that we submit programming recommendations by early May, which is why we are here asking you to consider this item today. The block grant revenues come from a state tax on diesel fuel, which is a very volatile funding source, and only transit operators can receive these funds. This year, MTC estimates that we will receive up to about $4.5 million in STA funds. Because the final revenues are not yet known, MTC has advised us to program up to 95% of those expected revenues with consideration for programming up to the full amount should the revenues meet that target. So consistent with the past programming cycles, we are recommending programming $3.3 million to SFMTA's paratransit program. This will complement Prop L funds and support this critical program for seniors and people with disabilities. We also recommend programming up to about $1.2 million for BART's elevator attendant program, which is shared with SFMTA to help ensure that these elevators are safe and available for those who need them. And I'll get into a little more detail on each project. The SFMTA provides paratransit services to persons with disabilities in compliance with the Americans with Disability Act. It includes the ShopAround and VanGo shuttles, ramp taxi incentive programs, as well as the Essential Trip Card. These programs are critically important for people with disabilities and elderly populations who are unable to fully utilize other forms of public transportation. The recommended funding amount is equal to the amount provided in previous programming cycles and complements the $13 plus million programmed in the sales tax for paratransit. The $31 million cost that you see is the expected cost of the paratransit contract plus based on recent usage of the service. In prior years, SFMTA based the cost of the program on the maximum possible contract amount, which is why the cost does appear lower than last year. Our recommendation is to maintain the same funding level as with STA as last year, meaning that the Transportation Authority would effectively be funding a higher proportion of paratransit costs, which will reduce pressure on SFMTA's operating budget, allowing those funds to be used for other needs such as transit service. Next, BART's elevator attendant program provides attendants to monitor each elevator at the four downtown shared BART and Muni stations, Civic Center, Powell, Montgomery, and Embarcadero. Attendants help improve safety, mobility, and accessibility for customers who rely on the elevators to access the system, discourage undesirable behaviors, improve cleanliness and reliability of the elevators, and reduce maintenance costs. The program also supports the economic recovery of downtown San Francisco and encourages people to take transit. We have funded this program through STA since 2019, and BART and SFMTA contribute equally to costs beyond these STA funds. The contract with the current attendant provider expires at the end of June, so BART put the contract out to bid last fall. The program cost that you see on the slide here was an estimate provided by BART staff. They have since made a recommendation to the BART board, which has a cost of about $3.7 million. The BART board is expected to consider this recommendation at its meeting on Thursday, April 10th, and costs would then be finalized with that approval. With that, I can take any questions, and we do have project managers from BART and SFMTA available as well.
Okay, I don't see any questions or comments from anyone on the board. Let's open this up for public comment then. Thank you, Mr. Pickford.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment for this item.
Okay, so public comment on this item is now closed. Is there a motion, colleagues, and a second? By Mandelman, seconded by Walton. Can we do that, if Supervisor? Yeah. Okay. So we'll do this same house, same call. Thank you. Let's go to the next item, please, Madam Clerk.
Item six, adopt the final Prop L strategic plan. This is an action item.
Okay, now we have Amelia Wally. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Melgar. Good morning, Commissioners. SFGov, I'm sharing my slides. Very excited to be here to present to you the final Prop L strategic plan for your consideration, marking the final milestone in standing up Prop L. So for the benefit of folks who haven't been following this process, I have two quick background slides on the Prop L expenditure plan before I jump into the strategic plan. So as a reminder, voters approved the Prop L expenditure plan in November 2022, and it superseded the previous half-cent sales tax measure, Prop K, in April of 2023. In the expenditure plan are five categories, and across these categories are 28 programs defining the type of investments that are eligible to receive Prop L funds and establishing the share of revenues that each program may receive. It also provides guidance on how the sales tax program should be administered, requiring adoption of a strategic plan and five-year prioritization programs. This pie chart shows those five categories I just mentioned that voters approved in Prop L, and the percentages show the share of revenues that each category will receive over the life of the measure. Again, the expenditure plan guides us in terms of what types of projects can be funded and at what proportion of the overall program. So I'll note here that the voter approved expenditure plan explicitly limits the use of sales tax revenues to capital projects and disallows using the funding for operations unless specifically called out. So the only ongoing operations funding in the expenditure plan is for paratransit. Switching gears to the strategic plan, there are three main elements: policies, revenues, and expenditures. The strategic plan contains the policies for administration of the sales tax program. It establishes revenue projections for the 30-year period, forecasts program administration expenses, and determines how much funds are available for each program on an annual basis, as well as reimbursement schedules and any financing costs associated with advancement of sales tax funds to accelerate delivery of project benefits to the public. So in other words, it reconciles the timing of expected sales tax revenues with the schedule for when project sponsors need those revenues over the 30 years. It sets the policies for administration to ensure prudent stewardship of taxpayer funds and provides a solid financial basis for the issuance of debt as needed to accelerate delivery of benefits to the public. And that's important because it helps us to support project delivery and leveraging of other federal, state, and regional sources. So project sponsors are able to count on Prop L funds being available. It allows the Transportation Authority to ensure that revenues are sufficient to cover expenditures. So remember, in addition to the strategic plan, the expenditure plan requires the Transportation Authority approval of 5-year prioritization programs, or 5 YPPs, as prerequisites for allocation of funds. And the 5 YPPs identify the specific projects that will receive sales tax funds and how much in the next 5-year period for each of the Prop L programs. The strategic plan and 5 YPPs are developed in tandem, and they're updated every 5 years over the 30-year life of the program, in part because it's hard to know what specific project needs look like 10 or 20 years from now. During those updates, we incorporate actual revenues and expenditures into the strategic plan. We update revenue forecasts and other assumptions as needed and work with project sponsors, the public, and other interested parties to identify the projects to be funded in the next 5-year period. We started the update process with approval of a strategic plan baseline in June of 2023, and we've updated the baseline as we've adopted each 5YPP. With all the 5YPPs now adopted by the board, including the Muni Maintenance 5YPP amendment approved last month, we can now bring the final strategic plan to the board for adoption. And so this step marks the end of the strategic plan and 5YPP update process. We're in step 3 here. So to finalize the strategic plan, we trued up revenues, expenditures, and financing costs according to actuals from fiscal years 23 and 24. We incorporated the amendment to the Muni Maintenance 5YPP, and we evaluated our assumptions from the baseline to see if any of those warranted updating. The notable change is a proposed revision to the 30-year revenue forecast to lower it and reduced programming commensurately beginning in year 6. We did not make any changes to policies. So we'll start with the revenue forecast. The original revenue estimate in the expenditure plan was conducted in June of 2021. When we developed the baseline in spring of 2023, we worked with economic consultants and compared near-term forecasts with the city's controller's office. At that time, we lowered the revenue forecast by 7.7% compared to the expenditure plan based on the latest data available at that time. In late 2024, we again worked with economic consultants to update the revenue forecast for the final strategic plan. And this updated revenue forecast reflects a lower projection of $1.95 billion 2020 dollars, which is about 11% lower than the revenue projection in the baseline. Translates to about $415 million year of expenditure dollars over the 30 years. This new projection is grounded in the latest data at this point and reflects actual revenues in the last 2 fiscal years, as well as the current economic picture that shows a continued slow pandemic recovery in San Francisco. We think it prudent to go ahead and adjust the forecast for this final strategic plan to make sure that we have enough revenues to meet our commitments to projects and debt. It should also be noted that adoption of the final strategic plan is happening in year 3 of a 30-year plan. There are recent positive signs of recovery, such as more employees returning to work in San Francisco offices versus remote, and this provides some cause for optimism. But with each strategic plan and 5YPP update cycle, we revisit sales tax projections. If they're higher than had previously been assumed, there will be additional funds to program to projects. Transportation Authority, we anticipate beginning the next update cycle in fiscal year 27-28. And this shows in year of expenditure dollars, the historic sales tax revenues and the forecast, where you can see we are approaching pre-pandemic levels. So the other side of the coin is expenditures. As a reminder, operating and administration costs are netted out first and they're a set percentage of revenues. As was approved in the baseline, we are carrying 7.9% for this cost, and that's consistent with prior years under Prop K. Also, as in the baseline, we're holding the last 1.75 years of revenue in a reserve to further protect against the risk that revenues come in lower than projected and helping to ensure that we have enough funds to cover obligations. Prop L superseded Prop K, and we carried forward Prop K financial obligations into Prop L. The model assumptions for those obligations have not changed. We continue to pay existing debt from the 2017 bond to the tune of about $21.3 million a year. A lot of numbers on this slide comparing the elements of revenues and expenditures from the baseline to the final strategic plan. The biggest change, of course, is the reduction in revenues, and therefore funds used on projects are down. Financing costs go up a little bit. So since we reduced the revenue forecast, we needed to reduce expenditures as well. And we wanted to approach the reduction of revenues for projects in a thoughtful and fair way. So we developed this set of principles to guide our work with sponsors to fit project funding and costs within the lower revenue amount. First, we wanted to keep funding as programmed in the current 5YPP cycle and protect this first 5 years of funding that we've worked so hard to approve. We were ultimately able to do this. Next, we wanted to preserve funding to the extent possible for the Portal and BART Core Capacity Program, which have full funding grant agreements with significant leveraging and federal funds at play. We wanted to sustain paratransit services at the baseline funding level as long as we could for stability of that program. And finally, we wanted to right-size programming across the different program lines by bringing all the programs to a comparable level of project costs and finance costs as a percentage of their project funding cap. So the next few slides go through the specific programming and cash flow changes. I'm going to try to just zoom through these, but I'm happy to answer questions as well. So for the portal, we preserved $300 million with slightly delayed cash flow to support leveraging of a $3 billion federal grant. For BART Core Capacity, we reduced total programming from $90 million to $85 million in delayed cash flow, and we have already allocated $35 million to this project for new trains. And for Mission Bay Ferry Landing, because it's the only project in the program and is expected to be underway in this first five-year period, we preserved their $4.5 million of programming and delayed cash flow. Okay, and then getting into out-year programming changes. When I say out-years, I am referring to years after the current five-year period, so year 6 to year 30 of the program. For paratransit, we were able to preserve programming at about that $13 million a year plus escalation through fiscal year 35 with modestly delayed cash flow. For Caltrain maintenance, we preserved $5 million annually through the next five-year period before reducing to $4.5 million through fiscal year 42. As a reminder, our contribution to Caltrain maintenance offsets SFMTA's annual budget, annual local capital match to Caltrain, since SFMTA is a member of the Caltrain Joint Powers Authority. For all other programs, we sought to bring them to a comparable level of funding as it relates to their share of revenues, which we'll get to in a moment. But first, I want to talk about muni maintenance. So as you all heard last month with the amendment, muni maintenance is the largest program in the expenditure plan by orders of magnitude. For some context, it's 2.5 times the next biggest program in the expenditure plan, the portal, and it's about a third of the entire Prop L program. So for muni maintenance, in addition to incorporating the programming and cash flow from the recent 5YPP amendment, we reduced programming in fiscal years 29 through 40, specifically to ensure that we could stay within our 1.75 times maximum annual debt service constraint, which helps to keep our credit rating high and debt costs lower. Muni maintenance, just because the sheer size of it, was the logical program to adjust. We increased programming beginning in fiscal year 41 and used some previously unprogrammed funds so that muni maintenance ultimately sees a $23 million increase in programming compared to the baseline. For all other programs, we reduced out-year programming beginning in fiscal year 29 by 20% to fit within the revised revenue forecast. But for programs that advance heavily in this first five-year period, we reduce them a little bit more. So because we were able to preserve all the funding in this five-year period, the programs that advanced early on needed to be reduced further in the later years to bring them to a comparable level as the programs that did not advance in this period. In the final strategic plan, and I just have a couple more slides, we did not make any substantial changes to debt assumptions from the baseline, except we did update our revolver loan capacity to reflect the new short-term debt instrument that the board approved in October. The final strategic plan remains financially constrained with assumptions like that maximum annual debt service coverage ratio that I mentioned, which has allowed us to maintain the highest credit rating of AAA and ultimately helps to reduce the cost of borrowing. So all that said, here's how it shakes out in the model. As you can see, assumed debt increases a little bit over the baseline figures, but stays in the same ballpark. And I think here's a good place to note that approval of the strategic plan is not approval of issuance of debt. So if we reach the point where we see a need to issue debt, we will return to the board for separate approval of any debt issuance. And if we don't and we end up financing less than the model assumes, that will be reflected in the next strategic plan update and those costs are returned to projects. So I know that was a ton of information. Thank you all for bearing with me. I put this slide in here just to recap for you the highlights of what I've just presented. First, the strategic plan update process happens every 5 years and is done in tandem with the 5 YPPs. We reduce revenues by 11% over this 30-year period to reflect the current economic picture. To fit within that updated revenue envelope, we reduce programming beginning in year 6, but we preserve the important near-term programming that was adopted in the 5 YPPs. The assumed debt levels are similar to what was assumed in the baseline, and we get to update this all again in fall of 2027. So with all of that said, thank you for your attention. I'm here along with our Deputy Director of Policy and Programming, Anna LaFort, to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, I don't see anyone on the roster. I do have a little bit of questions about what happens to the timeline of some of the projects that in prior plans had a timeline if we're reducing the projections.
Anna LaFort, Deputy Director for Policy and Programming. Thank you for the question. We have assumed the cash flows from the Prop K program, which was superseded in spring of 2023 when Prop L took effect. So all of the many of the invoices that we are seeing now are actually from Prop K grants. That is what the high expenditures are for, and so we have included those and assumed the cash flows as approved in the model.
Great. So it's early enough that we can just keep going.
Yes.
Into Prop L. Okay. Thank you so much. Did you want to add anything, Director Chang? You were just looking at me, so.
Thank you for the question. I would just like to just add one little thing, which is on the portal. That project did adopt a pushed out, I should say, timeline. As far as the original time frame for the project was to deliver it in the 2031 time frame, TJPA has adopted a new schedule for 2034, I believe, or 2035. So that is one project that did get pushed further out. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Director Chang. Thank you very much, Amelia. Let's go to public comment on this item since no one has any comments.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment for this item.
Okay, public comment on this item is now closed. Colleagues, may I have a motion and a second to adopt the final Prop L strategic plan, please? Mandelman motions, Dorsey second. Same house, same call. Thank you. Let's go to the next item, please, at Madam Clerk.
Item 7, exercise contract option for on-call project management and engineering services in an amount not to exceed $2,700,000 for a combined total contract amount not to exceed $10,700,000. This is an action item.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Welcome, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you, Chair Melgar. Good morning and good morning, Commissioners. Carl Holmes, Deputy Director for Capital Projects, SFGov. Please share the slide. So slide 2 gives a background of this on-call contract for project management and engineering services. It was set up 3 years ago in the amount of $8 million for a duration of 3 years to assist us in project management and engineering services for projects such as the Yerba Buena Island portfolio, where we have two projects that are currently under construction, one project in design, a project that the board recently approved that is about to start construction. In addition to select SFMTA and BART projects, as well as Caltrain projects that we provide enhanced oversight. The way the contract was set up, after the three-year duration, there's an opportunity to extend for 2 years, but in one separate increments, in separate increments. We're asking the board today to approve the first of those two increments in the amount of $2.7 million. We also had shortlisted 17 firms 3 years ago, and we're utilizing about half of them today. Slide three shows our distribution of how the funds, our budget capacity is being utilized. We currently have committed 6.7 million of the 8 million budget capacity. You can see how we have utilized our subconsultants and then the three business enterprise categories in our portfolio. Next and lastly, you'll see a listing of the projects that we are managing today, and we continue to need to manage. So out of the $1.3 million of remaining capacity that we have, we already see for this coming fiscal year a need, a real need, of a range of $2.3 million to $2.6 million. So we would exceed the remaining capacity, and with that, I go back to our request for the board to approve the $2.7 million in 1 year extension. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Chair Margar.
Thank you so much, Mr. Holmes. I don't see anyone in the roster with questions or comments, and I don't have any. So thank you. Let's go to public comment on this item, please, Madam Clerk.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Yes, there is remote public comment. Going to the caller now. Good morning, caller. Your 2 minutes begins now.
Good morning, Chair Melgar and Commissioners Roland Trublin, San Jose. I would like to start by apologizing for missing this item at the CAC and not for writing to you in opposition to two contracts on page two of attachment one to Zurinaga and Associates, who are nothing more than a reincarnation of the infamous Cordoba Zurinaga, aka CZ, joint venture, which preceded Mr. Cordoba's tenure as Deputy Director of Capital Project. This firm received tens of millions of dollars over the last two decades for program management oversight of multiple projects which ran billions of dollars over budget, including the Salesforce Transit Center, the Central Subway, and Caltrain Education. In closing, I respectfully urge you to reach out to former Supervisor Aaron Speskin and ask him how awarding $347,695 for DTX Senior Advisory Services and $293,596 for Caltrain Program Oversight and Central Subway Closeouts to the same firm could possibly produce different results. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. There is no additional public comment on this item.
Okay, public comment on this item is now closed. Okay. Colleagues, may I have a motion and a second to approve this item? Mahmoud and Chen, I think we can do the same house, same call. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please call the next item.
Item 8, introduction of new items. This is an information item.
Okay, I don't see anyone on the roster to introduce any new items. Let's go to the next item, please, Madam Clerk.
Item 9, public comment. Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak? And there is. Your 2 minutes begins now.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Good morning, supervisors, directors. My name is Alex Landsberg. I'm the research and advocacy director for the San Francisco Electrical Construction Industry. In the past few months, I've met with a number of you to discuss the need for the CTA to take a step back in Muni's headlong rush into battery bus-based electrification. And instead, call from you need to do a comprehensive alternatives analysis that considers and takes advantage of our overhead line system and trolley bus network to get the best economic, environmental, and operational bang for the buck. Last month, you approved a request for $5.5 million for Kirkland Yard electrification planning, despite your CAC's rejection of that request. I was traveling and unable to attend the hearing, although had I realized you guys did remote comment, I probably would have called in. But I understand that staff made the case that because the yard needs to be rebuilt regardless, that this planning would be used to support that effort, no matter what the propulsion technology chosen for the buses. While the other design work is necessary and the yard does indeed need to be replaced, the project is based around the premise of storing 111 battery electric buses, which come with significant electrical demands and upgrades to neighboring infrastructure. As this policy brief that I want to just leave with you here shows, a policy brief from the International Association of Public Transportation and experience around the world show fleet electrification using the in-motion charging battery-assisted trolley bus requires fewer electrical upgrades. In essence, you are being asked to pay to study capacity upgrades that would be wholly unnecessary in the case of an electrification program built around our existing trolley bus infrastructure. What this means practically is that money that could be spent upgrading our existing electric transit infrastructure would instead be spent upgrading infrastructure that we don't own and that we don't need while pulling electrical load that could otherwise be used for building electrification.
Thank you for your comment.
I'm sorry, Mr. Landsberg. We will take your comments in writing. Thank you. Is there a remote public comment, Madam Clerk?
Oh, is there additional public comment? Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Yes, there is. Going to the caller now. Hello, caller. Hey. Your 2 minutes begins now.
Yeah, I know. I got 2 minutes. I really, really need you guys' help. I lost my clipper card, and I need to get back. And I don't know where it's at, but I got so excited about all these boozy parties, events in the street. Maybe I dropped it somewhere in the city. I don't know. I got to track it and stuff like that. I think some girl picked it up and pocketed me. She was all over me. Anyway, you know, we need to make sure that we are Twin Peaks is open. It closes at 12 o'clock. I don't know what's going on there. We're going to party at the peak. So that's
very, very important. Also, we need to use our garage. So everybody needs to clear out. We need to use our garage downstairs, you know, the place where you guys used to park, because everybody's got a clipper card, and I'm sure everybody's going to stand up and showcase that. We're going to work with Lurie, create a place downstairs, a spot downstairs just for drinking. Just for drinking. That's it. It's going to be a social event. And then everybody gets an Uber home. So we want, you know, practice safety, no drinking and driving and stuff like that. In the meantime, transportation. Well, Jan's going to obviously transportate herself back to Hong Kong. Melgar is going back to El Salvador. I think she's facing charges there. Ingardio, Pacific Ocean's calling you, the Great Highway. What a fiasco that was. Dorsey, you know, off to rehab you go. Mandelman, Betty Crocker called. She wants your help. She needs your help. So hook up with Betty Crocker. Give her a call back. Send her off an email.
I'm sorry. You cannot make personal comments on this public comment setting. Thank you.
Okay.
There is no additional public comment, Chair. Okay.
With that, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 10, adjournment.
Okay. We're adjourned.